Michigan sports enthusiasts, welcome to Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. We've got some really cool stuff going on there. It's a promotion called Locktober, and the way I've been gambling lately, that is a very apt name. I went 4-0 yesterday.
Nice work.
Yeah. So we've got Keith Gave and Rich Calkins in studio with us, guys. A full plate of sports to talk about, but as the landscape of collegiate sports continues to change, the National Labor Relations Board came out with, I don't know if it's a shocking pronouncement, Keith, but just another step to how the 21st century collegiate athlete is going to be perceived.
Absolutely. The landscape is changing dramatically. We've been talking about this for a couple of years now, how things are changing. I wonder what the college landscape is going to look like in 5 years. We won't recognize it, I don't think. Now the NLRB says, JC, that
private schools, athletes at private schools
are employees.
They are allowed to unionize.
Right.
So they can state their case for different, benefits.
Right.
Right?
Right. You're right.
You know, the first step has already happened. If you guys have been following around this, the NIL's dollars are flying into some of these schools.
And that's name, image, and likeness that colleges can sell.
Yeah. Right. Yep. And some guys are taking cash. Some guys are getting cars.
Right.
But it's always trickled down to the NAIA. There's a student at Aquinas College who's a volleyball player that is getting up to $10,000 for stuff that she's doing. So
That's amazing. Even at smaller schools, that's good for her.
Well, you know, those enterprising young men and women, especially in the NAIA, where my son Joe just recently was an athlete, you go out and pound on, knock on some doors and do some radio ads or whatever. It's going to get interesting. I mean, hell, Rich, that kid that transferred, that declassified early and went to Ohio State, who still hasn't seen the field, is getting a car and $500,000.
Right, exactly. He signed that, like you said, JC, just walking on campus because he was the latest phenom in Texas quarterback history to come in. And like you said, he hasn't seen a snap, but he's going to be making almost $1 million.
Did Joe get a scholarship or something called a grant and aid?
Yeah.
Grant and aid. That's what they call it in the MAAA. I mean, I got a grant and aid to play baseball at Olivet College, so now I got to go out and get an agent.
Yeah, exactly.
I think your eligibility has been exhausted.
Scott Boras, where were you years ago?
Scott Boras wasn't born when he was 20.
You know, I guess it's an okay thing. I don't know. It's hard to.
You know, the marketplace is always weird. You know, when I was at UCLA, guys were making money.
It was all under the table. Now it's above board.
Well, no, some of it was. I mean, you were given tickets that you were allowed to sell, I think. At UCLA, you had your alumni.
I don't
that
think you were allowed to sell them.
But if they didn't make a big deal about,
just
don't tell, don't ask,
don't tell. Yes. Yeah. And again, if you're not going to have a bunch of family come to each game, and there's people clamoring for those tickets, you make a little change on the side.
Well, it's going to be way more than chump change now.
Yeah.
And the golden handshake may be going away, Rich.
Right.
But, this new wave of athlete, it's already affecting college basketball. These guys that were thinking G League or whatever else are going to go to college.
Yep.
We might see athletes actually stay 1 or 2 years in college to hone their skills. They're making a few hundred grand.
Yep.
So this could be a good thing. I mean, we've all been bemoaning the fact that college basketball, the quality of college basketball, has gone down with people exiting quickly to go to
the
league.
Yeah.
But it may signal the end of the G League. I don't know. Mm-hmm. There's so many things at play. It's going to be fascinating.
Yeah, and it's great that everyone's going to be able to compete with the Ohio States now, because everything will be above board, theoretically.
Yeah, it's not, theoretically. And it's not just Ohio State, the whole SEC. But
go back
to the Duffy Doherty days at Michigan State. And, you know, Bubba Smith was driving around in a great big white Oldsmobile, because Oldsmobiles were made in Lansing. And he painted Bubba on the side of it, and he drove around in that car.
Whose car is that?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't think Bubba, I think some glad-handing alumnus.
Of course,
through,
yeah.
You know, things are different. You know, I've told you guys a story about what I know Ohio State football players were getting as benefits from the largest car dealer in the Columbus area.
Look, the quarterback from years ago that was the Michigan recruit as well end up going there in Trestle, and he turned their Golden Pants Award or whatever that they turned in. It was a big hoopla.
Oh, what is it? Who was the guy from the basketball program from U of M who took the bullet for all those guys, because Tractor Trailer, they were in that car accident.
Ed Martin.
Huh?
Ed Martin?
Ed Martin.
Yeah.
So, this has been going on forever. I mean, Michigan was not immune to it. According to Ron Kramer, he was getting cash when he was there in the early 60s. So, you know, I'm sure Alabama football players are very well compensated. It's just going to be all above board.
Right.
And, you know, so it'll be interesting to see if this diffuses the landscape. Will more kids want to go to Alabama, or do you want to be a star at Louisville?
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. And cash is king. Who are some of the richest boosters, the richest, you know, areas that you are recruited to? That's going to play into the dynamics.
Will that
make it obviously a top tier of schools that are going to be, the rich will get richer.
Yeah. You know, maybe Columbia needs to ramp up their football program.
Well, look at Stanford out in tech country and things. There's a lot of money there. You know, what happened? But
no,
they're a private school, though.
Yeah, no, they are private school. So, another step towards the legalization and profiteering that's going to finally come the student athlete's way, which it deserves to be.
Yeah.
And maybe they'll take some of the pressure, Keith, off of the universities, depending on how they do this. You know what? Go ahead. Get as much money as you can.
Right.
You still need to show up for practice.
Right.
Da, da, da.
You got to pay your taxes. The compliance offices are going to change for sure.
Yeah.
You made a good point off air a little while ago, JC, talking about this affects private institutions, private colleges. What happened at Northwestern, was it 5, 6, 7 years ago? They tried to unionize.
2015, number of athletes from Northwestern filed a complaint with the National Labor Relations Board, and it was eventually dismissed.
Yes.
So what has happened between now and then? Where the NLR, nothing has changed as far as the conditions of the athletes.
Right.
It may have gotten a little better for them. And now the NLRB is saying, so they misstepped 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And these are supposed to be lawyers, liberal lawyers. So obviously there was the pressure. You can't tell me that the NCAA did not exert a ton of pressure on the NLRB to dismiss that.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And we all know that the NCAA is not the organization that it used to be, and I don't know what it's going to be in the future. I mean, it's going to be more of a scheduling arm of college football. Some other organization is going to come out of this whole thing, I believe.
Yeah, the Power Five conferences will create something that will benefit them.
Sure.
There's a lot of money involved in TV and radio and everything else.
Yes.
Let's slide over to our favorite part of college football, though. Your Spartans dodged a bullet.
So did your Wolverines, by the way.
They did.
Yeah. Ooh. Well, let's talk about Michigan State first.
Sure.
That's the only loss that I had last Saturday when they ran the football to the 1-yard line. This is happening more and more because, you know, Miami screwed this game up last night with this.
Mm-hmm.
What in God's name is Mel Tucker thinking in overtime? There's 2.5 minutes left, and what's his name? Your Walker runs it to the one-yard line, and they bring in the field goal unit, and it screwed the point spread. It was 3.5 instead of 7. People miss field goals.
Yeah.
Would you rather hand the
you
ball
got a Heisman
to
Trophy
Walker?
Candidate in your backfield.
It didn't make any freaking sense.
I agree with you.
Miami goes ahead and decides, oh, yeah, we're in field goal range at the 23-yard line, and they miss the chip shot field goal instead of taking at least down to the fourth down territory.
Michigan State kicked on a third down.
Yeah, didn't make any sense to me.
No.
From the 1 yard line.
I agree.
Yep.
I agree.
You know, as a gambler, it was, you know, made me want to vomit in my mouth. But from a coaching standpoint, I don't get it.
Yeah.
I think the safer play is the quarterback sneak or the handoff as opposed to lining up for a field goal.
Yep.
That's just,
yeah.
And like I said,
because more things can go wrong on a field goal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Screw up the snap, the pass to the holder.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, Keith, both Michigan State and Michigan, who've been relying huge on the running game.
Yep.
Got stopped.
Yep.
Sure did.
That's right.
You know,
right.
The second half offensive of both Michigan State and Michigan completely evaporated.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
But I that I'm a Michigan fan as opposed to a Michigan State fan. But I have a funny feeling that we're not going to see Michigan try to do what they did to Rutgers in the second half. I don't think they cared about continuing to run the football and not getting anywhere. I believe that you're going to see a ton of short passing games from Michigan against Wisconsin.
They're going to have to.
Well,
yeah,
probably.
They're going to have to.
That rush defense is something from Wisconsin.
They have the best rush defense in the country. They're averaging 1.01 yards per carry against. So,
Notre Dame didn't even try to run the football against them.
Yeah, they didn't. They totally avoided it.
Yeah, they ran the ball 7 times in a football game.
But you think Wisconsin and other opponents didn't learn something from Rutgers, the way they played this team?
I think Michigan kind of played into
that.
I think they, you know what? Here's what they think we are.
Yeah.
We're going to find out.
Yeah.
Because if Michigan does that, they will lose at Wisconsin.
That's right. Yeah. I think this is the game that they unveil that at least a short passing game. They've got to pass the ball.
To the tight end at all.
I know it. And they threw it one time to the converted left tackle, and he caught it like a left tackle, went right off his hands. I mean, the hands of stone.
Right.
But anyway, I'm really concerned about McNamara. Some of those throws that were there, and he short armed them. Some different things. I think this offense, personally, with what McCarthy in there, he's a rocket arm, he's a freshman. If he can just not make mistakes, he's able to make all the throws. And I wouldn't be surprised if, for at least one half, if McNamara struggles and he can't make the throws, and he's not doing, he manages the offense, basically, is what he is. He's a manager.
That's Cade McNamara's calling card. He's not making mistakes.
Yeah.
He hasn't turned the ball over.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right.
And that's, of course, a Harbaugh feature that he loves.
That also leads to why there's a hesitation sometimes on some of those throws. He just wants to make sure that this isn't going to be a turnover.
Right.
Now, and everybody likes McCaffrey.
Yeah. It's not McCaffrey. McCarthy.
McCarthy. Okay, everybody loves the backup quarterback.
JJ, I know. But you saw him.
He's got a great arm.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, he was an extremely highly rated, second or third highest ranked quarterback in his class, played at, IMG Academy. Yeah, he's got a rocket front arm. But he's been playing against with huge leads, and it's completely different than what's going to happen. And we know Michigan's problems at Wisconsin. I mean, they haven't won there since 2001.
20 years.
Yeah, and Jim Leonard's a good D coordinator for them, and he loves getting those little notches.
I like the
Michigan
under.
So do I.
43.5. I like the under. It's going to look a lot like the Penn State-Wisconsin game.
It'll be a 13-10 kind of game.
Yep.
And, you know, and Michigan's defense saved their bacon against
Rutgers.
That's
right.
It did,
right.
Yes.
You know, Michigan cannot count on Wisconsin turning the ball over a few times. If they do, obviously that's going to be a game changer. That's the one thing I wanted to bring up, guys. As I get deeper and deeper into gambling, that's the number one thing is turnovers.
Turnovers
more than any other issue in football will determine the game. And the problem is it's pretty capricious.
Yeah.
You know, there's some teams are really good at generating turnovers. But that always, you know, like you'll see that in the NFL. A team has a great year of, you know, creating turnovers. They get plus
right.
16
yeah.
in the turnover. It never carries over to the next year. Those teams
no.
that, and that's where you see teams that made the playoffs in the one year
yeah.
don't make the playoffs the next year because they don't generate more possession.
And that's what the Dallas Cowboys to relate to, and that's what they're
exactly.
doing.
Wisconsin has a minus 7 turnover rate.
Oh, I know. They
minus
turn the ball
seven.
Over
their quarterback was just, yeah, he, when he was forced
Mertz,
to.
Mertz has been horrible.
He has been.
And, you know, some things that have been troubling me with Michigan, you know, obviously their defense came up big when it had to against Rutgers, but Aiden Hutchinson has been a non-factor in the last couple of games. I don't know if he's hurt. I don't know if he just has a lot of trouble dealing with double teams. You know, Ross was out at the end of the game.
Yes, he got, yes.
So a fully healthy, engaged Michigan defense is going to be really needed here because unless Michigan goes to a pass-first offense and then backs it up with the run, they're not going to have that time of possession that they've been really enjoying.
What's the line now? I've seen everything from pick 'em to 3.
It's been a pretty steady 2.5.
Wisconsin
favored, right?
Bet back up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet it at 2.5, but I like the under better.
I like the under way better.
Yeah.
And
I like the over of the state Western Kentucky game.
It's a big over.
Oh, is that
63?
Yeah.
63.
Wow.
But Michigan State's pass defense is atrocious, and you've got one of the best passing
yep.
offenses in the country coming in.
Yep.
I think you're going to see a track.
Up and down. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Not that that's what Mel Tucker wants to see.
Right.
But I think I don't know if he has the horses to defend unless they make a lot of sacks.
You get your chance to see 8-man football in East Lansing.
Clearly, Wisconsin's not the same team that's been the last couple of years.
No.
When they've outscored Michigan 84-25 the last 2 years.
Well, they had a guy named Jonathan Taylor for the
that's,
last 4 years.
That's right.
That.
That's right. But they're playing the game at Camp Randall Stadium, which is a hard place to win
Michigan. And they need this win.
It's so desperate. And it's their first game on the road. They play 4-0, but all four games have been at home, as usual, in Ann Arbor.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think that's going to be an issue. I don't think being
on
the road is the issue. I think Camp Randall might be the issue.
Yeah.
But not being on the road. I think Michigan, as a matter of fact, you know, you can say all you want, but the team is like, yeah, we want to get out of here and play on
the
road.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
You're right. It's not your father's Wisconsin team. If you've been following some of this stuff, there's a reason why. Wisconsin's recruiting status has gone way down in the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
And they made a bad decision deciding to keep the Mertz kid who played well last year. But you can't – I think there's so many things that were decided or, you know, people thought they figured out in COVID. You can't – anything that happened last year in college football, I think you got to –
Yeah, that's a throwaway season.
You're right.
Exactly.
You're right.
And so, and you know, Cohen – who went
yeah,
to Notre Dame,
Is
a you know a much better game manager. Maybe Mertz has got more talent, but he certainly has issues with protecting the ball.
Give Notre Dame some credit. They played that Wisconsin team way better than I thought they would.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
I told you that
I was skeptical.
Looking the weeks prior, to struggling against Toledo and all the, you're like, oh, what's going
now
on with
Cincinnati
Notre Dame?
Now goes in there.
Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah. It's Cincinnati's favorite.
Tone.
Oh, of course they are.
Yeah, 2.5 points.
Cincinnati's a better football
team.
Yeah. You know, it's going to be interesting to see. You're going to find out a lot about Brian Kelly as a football coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Cincinnati, you coached there.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Can he get this Notre Dame team to play up to their potential? Because, let's face facts. Notre Dame is loaded with talent, okay? Mm-hmm. They have a top 10, top 6 recruiting class year in, year out. I think Rich and I were talking mm-hmm. about this before we went on the air on the Scoreboard show. You know, this kid from TC Central
is
the quarterback linebacker.
Josh Burnham.
Notre Dame has routinely recruits 20 to 25 quarterbacks every year. And then just move them around the field because ultimately, like you've said before, the shortstop is always the best player, right? Notre Dame has got – Penn State used to do it all the time. They recruit all these great basketball players.
Turn them into linebackers.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
So 2.5 is not enough for me, though. I think Cincinnati is really
good.
And, you know, this is the game for them. They beat Notre
Dame
at Notre Dame.
Yeah. They get that national exposure they've been craving.
And that's why, and people were worried about them at Indiana. In fact, they were, I think they were favored by the exact same spread on the road at Indiana. And Indiana and Notre Dame might actually be the kind of the same.
Yeah.
But except for Indiana doesn't have a top 10 recruiting class year in, year out. And Brian Kelly is a way better coach than people think.
Yeah.
Yes, he is. Yeah. I hate to admit that.
I hate to admit it, too.
Kind of a jerk.
I mean, he passed Newt Rockne in that game.
Canute.
Yeah.
He did.
So, it's an issue. There's a couple other great college football games since we're talking about college football real quickly. You've got a Georgia-Arkansas game that's going to be really, really good.
Yeah.
You've got Alabama playing Ole Miss. Yes. Just, everybody's focusing on the storylines between Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, and we'll talk about that in the next segment.
Yeah.
But what about Lane Kiffin?
And Saban.
And, and how much is Saban, can he embarrass Kiffin like he wants to? Or this defense... This is not a vintage Alabama defense, and this offense that Mississippi State has is lethal.
Yep. And it's still Alabama's 14.5-point favorite.
I
like Ole Miss in this game.
I don't know. It could go so many ways. You like to think of what locks are.
There ain't no lock
in that game.
No. That's going to be such an entertaining game.
Kiffin has the opportunity.
He
would score 170 points in that game if he could.
Oh, mm-hmm. absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's not worried about making friends. That's for sure.
They were never friends.
Even on the same staff.
They hated each other.
Right. But they knew they were both brilliant.
Well, and look at Saban realized that he couldn't run the offense the way he wanted to run it anymore. And he brought in Kiffin, and, Alabama has never looked back.
Right. Yep. Right. Stepped up to the times and more modern offense.
You know, the Alabama is not – this is not a vintage team, if you ask me.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
So we will – I'll be watching that football game.
I do like their big 6'9", 350-pound left tackle, by the way, for Alabama. That kid's just incredible. He's incredibly athletic. You watch him. He just mauls people. It's crazy how good he is.
The one interesting game to me this week coming up is Minnesota at Purdue. Purdue, strange line to me. Purdue's 2.5-point favorite and probably should be, but I think Minnesota is going to win this game. They were embarrassed last week. I think they're going to beat Purdue at Purdue.
Yeah, I had Bowling Green in the points.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, you did. Oh, okay.
Good for you, man. Good for you.
They were getting 31.
Yeah.
They won outright.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
It's the second biggest underdog win.
Since Appalachian State?
Appalachian State was only like plus 7. They weren't getting 30 against Michigan. They were defending national
champions
in FSC.
Yeah.
No, this was like in the last 10 years, a home upset, 31 points Minnesota was giving them, lost at home outright.
Right.
That just doesn't happen.
Just an emotional letdown from that win the week before.
Bowling Green is good. I'm sorry, you look at MAC football is good. Look at Western.
Yeah.
Western beat Pitt. I mean, that's a good football team. That's a good win for Michigan. People aren't talking about
that. Oh, yes,
it
is. No question.
It looks a whole lot better now.
Oh,
yeah.
Yep. Oh, hell yeah.
Yep.
All right, when we return here on Friday Faceoff, we'll talk NFL football because the NFL is back and FanDuel Sportsbooks wants you to get the most out of every NFL play. They're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every week. bet a same game parlay bet with three legs or more, and if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you up to $10 back. I'm sorry, guys. I like the Lions.
So do I. So do I. I like them to win.
Yeah. The Sunday show, I'm going to build a same game parlay with a 1-2-3. Lock in your bet today so that you can bet the Lions on the points. You can also bet them on the money line as part of your parlay.
Yep.
And then a Hockenson touchdown or whatever.
DeAndre Swift.
How many yards? He'll probably be at 63. Look at DeAndre Swift's looking
pretty good. Oh, really good.
And get up to $10 back if your bet doesn't win.
New to FanDuel, claim your 30-1 odds on either team to win on Sunday night. In the Sunday night game, Tampa versus New England, another good game, guys. Just sign up with promo code WGRY, and if your first bet loses, you get up to $1,000 in site credit.
21 and over and present in Michigan. Refund issued with non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund of $10. Restrictions do apply. See terms at sportsbookfanduel.com. Same game parlay available at multiple sports in all states on mobiles and web. Gambling problems, call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help. And if you see that three-legged dude, run around, contact JC.
Don't forget, use the promo code WGRY. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. It's going to be Action City there this Saturday and Sunday as college and pro football ramp up. Jerry Coyne is in studio with Keith Gave and Rich Calkins. And, guys, how many different ways can the Lions figure out to lose or get screwed?
Yeah.
Or get screwed. That's right. I was watching that game with my wife. We were sitting on the couch. I'm in the chair. And, they go ahead with a little over a minute to go, right? They kick a field goal. And she looked at me and said, still plenty of time to screw it up. And I said, you know what? I just have this feeling that something big, something bad's going to happen. I just had that feeling.
Well, thank you for ruining it.
And what did we see? I mean, I remember where I was exactly
when
Tom Dempsey kicked that 63-yard field goal.
I wept for 45.
Oh, my Lord.
That was a great Lions team. That was the.
It was.
Alex
Karras.
Karras was laughing. Dempsey came out there laughing. They didn't even line up.
And what family was honored during the Lions game? The Karras family.
Yes,
right. Tom McCord let me know that little note.
Guys, I'm really interested to see if this Lion team rebounds. That's the one worry I have, because that was a gut-wrenching loss.
Oh.
That team wanted that win so bad. They played so hard
in the third and fourth quarter.
Man, they could taste it. We're going to get this win.
Right.
It was impressive the way they played that second half.
No, there's no doubt about it.
On both sides of the ball.
What the hell? They only rushed three guys for after it worked. Lock, stock, and barrel. I mean, come on. It's the that's the one thing.
And then still give up that
that's what I'm talking about.
Pass.
Man. After they had put so much pressure on
Lamar
Jackson.
Well, I mean, just everything about. I mean, how many times do you see a kick hit the crossbar and bounce over? Usually they always bounce back.
High and over.
Right,
it's 2.5 seconds past the 30.
Oh, it was unbelievable that they couldn't see.
I was watching the game in Denver, and we're like, is there something wrong with the game clock?
Are they not synced up, or what's the deal?
Why didn't they blow the whistle? Because it's the Detroit Lions.
Yes, exactly.
And they're going to have a new, instead of the Calvin Johnson rule, they're going to have the Dan Campbell rule, the Justin Tucker rule.
I'm not big into curses, but it's like there's a cloud hanging over that. I mean, it's just unbelievable how many bad things happen to this organization.
Well, I really think that they're going to play through this, bounce back.
Well, we saw the recipe.
There's too many good things to take from
that. We saw the recipe for how the Lions can win.
Yep.
And that is run the football or, keep. Goff is a good game manager.
Yes.
Look at how many passes have his wide routes dropped.
Oh, I know.
It's insane.
Wait till he gets a receiver or two.
Right.
I like Goff. But they, if they can keep it close and they can run Swift and the other kid, that's a good combination. Swift's actually starting to catch the ball.
They're going to use him a lot more that way. We're going to see a lot of DeAndre Swift catch the ball.
Jamal Williams.
Look good.
He's a tough running back.
And they got Hockenson. And if they had one wide out,
so Hockenson wouldn't have to get doubled.
Back in this lineup, this would be a pretty interesting offense.
Oh, totally agree.
Yeah. So, and the defense played better. Bryant and Okara were really good. But you know what, guys? I think Penei Sewell is going to end up being a great player, but how much have they missed the boat on Micah Thompson? Or on Micah Parsons.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I know. Oh.
He's going to be the next Lawrence Taylor.
I was going to say it, but I didn't want you guys to get on me. But that's what he reminds me of, chasing the quarterbacks. It reminds you of Lawrence Taylor.
Cannot be blocked.
Yeah.
Beast.
Yeah. No, I didn't know he was going to be that good. I but even then, I'm like, I don't care if he's the, if Penei Sewell's ranked that much higher. And if Penei Sewell turns out to be Anthony Munoz, well, that's fine.
Right.
Okay, good for him. But you know what? No offensive tackle in football can compare to a game wrecker like Aaron Donald and Ray Lewis and Lawrence Taylor.
Those defensive playmakers, which is something the Lions have hardly ever had, like at that level where you're just, like you said, you take over ball games. You know what I mean?
They never had one. I mean, God bless Joe Schmidt or Alex Karras or Chris Spielman.
They had the defensive end, Bubba
Baker.
Baker.
Had
23 sacks one year.
That's phenomenal.
That changes the position.
Yeah.
And that's what Micah Parsons appears to be. Look, let's face this. The best defensive player the Detroit Lions ever had was Lem Barney.
Yeah.
Period.
That's right.
Yep. He was my favorite player growing up as a kid.
I loved him. I hope that we're not talking about this for the next 6 years. It's kind of depressing because we know how bad the Dallas defense was. And look at how much better they are.
And they traded back and still got Parsons. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, they just moved back a few spots.
All right, guys, let's go over the sheet real quick for the games. We both like the Lions, especially getting the 3.5.
I love the Lions. Yes.
Yeah, the hook is big.
Yep. With the under.
Yeah. The Titans, man, the Jets have looked bad.
Oh, brutal.
They're getting 6.5 at home against the Titans. If the Titans run the football the way they did in that second half, I don't see how Saleh and these guys can stop them. But, it's kind of a weird game for me. What's going on with the Kansas City Chiefs?
Good question.
They're giving 7 on the road to the Eagles, who did not look spectacular either.
Oh, no.
I think the Chiefs turn it around here.
I think they get healthy here and win that one,
Who's the Eagles quarterback, the Alabama, Jalen Hurts?
Jalen Hurts,
I don't think he's going to make it.
No.
Then you're talking about the Cowboys and the Panthers. The surprising Carolina Panthers are getting 4.5 against the Cowboys in a weird trap game here. It is down in Dallas, and there is no Christian McCaffrey.
Right.
So,
Dallas.
But I'm telling you what, the Carolina defense is legit.
Right.
I like the under in this game big time. Saints rebounded, as I predicted here. They're giving 7 to the Giants. I think that's a blowout.
That game before, they were missing like 9 coaches because of COVID protocol. I mean, there's a lot more behind the scenes that took
place. And I counted on that because their position groups failed miserably.
Yes.
That was against Carolina.
Yeah.
But Carolina's a good football team.
They are.
Yeah.
Good coach, Matt.
The Vikings have been kind of surprisingly good.
Offense has been pretty good.
Kirk Cousins is quietly having a really good year.
They're getting
2.5 at home.
Yeah. 2.5?
Yeah.
I like them to win.
I think the Browns, who's going to block Myles Garrett? You want to talk about a game wrecker. What the hell did he do to
Justin Fields. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my. That was.
Fields is going to have nightmares the rest of his life.
That's right. The Cleveland Browns defense is legit. This is maybe, to me, the most complete team. Either the Rams or the Browns are the complete, most complete team in the league
now. No obvious, holes.
Yeah, the Bills are giving the biggest point spread on the schedule, 17.5 to Houston. Is that it's in Buffalo?
It could be another 36-0 game.
Houston is at least they're playing hard.
They are, yeah. Surprisingly scrappy, but Buffalo's played a lot better lately.
Miami's given 1.5 to the Colts with Jacoby Brissett's going to play quarterback.
Yeah.
I give Carson Wentz a lot of credit. They could have won that football game. I think the Colts will win this game outright.
Do you?
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, the Colts are in a bad position. You know, they lose another football game, and they're not, and they're playoffs.
Yeah.
I like Frank Wright. I like that organization. I think they'll figure it out. And a game that I could care less about. What has happened to the Washington football defense?
Yeah.
That's supposed to be...
They were really ballyhooed coming in. You thought, oh, my gosh, they are. Because you saw them in the playoffs last year. You thought, man, this is a good front.
Biggest disappointment so far this season.
Certainly.
No doubt about it. And, somebody said something that on a radio program that has really seeped into my head. You know, I like Ron Rivera. But he is really an overrated football coach. I mean, he only had like 2 good years out of 9 in Carolina.
When Cam was
the
great.
Savior of the Washington football team. And it just... that's an interesting a game there. The Niners and the Seahawks. The Seahawks really pooped the bed last week.
It surprised me.
They're struggling, right now.
They're an odd team to try and figure out.
Well, their defense is not very good.
Right.
They've got a lot, a couple guys left from the Legion of Boom, and the rest of the defense doesn't have any stars in it. And, maybe Russell Wilson is in that place where people were worried about Aaron Rodgers falling into last year. Like, maybe I'm out of here.
Yeah.
If you're not 100% focused on the team that's coming up, I don't know, and the Niners are going to be hurting over that loss. You can't afford losing a game in this division.
Right.
As good as the four teams are in that division, Rich.
Yes.
Divisional wins count double.
Oh, that NFC West is a great, great division.
And that's the next game up is the Rams given – that game's been bet from 6.5 down to 4.
Oh, wow.
The Rams at home against the Arizona Cardinals.
I like
take the over.
Oh, I think the Rams will, especially as it's bet down there. The Cardinals always look good, and then it just kind of falls apart. Kyler Murray is fast.
Yep.
They've got some talent. It'll be interesting to see, that the Simmons guy had that great game against the Titans in week one. He hasn't done nearly as much. So are him and J.J. Watt going to be able to disrupt any of this Rams offense? The Tampa Bay defense that looks so good against Kansas City has not been playing well. So
no.
I don't know if it's the Rams or, a scheme. This is going to be a really interesting football game.
Kyler Murray's throwing a pick in each game thus far, too.
Yep. Packers versus, is there, I don't know what the term is. I guess I do take some pleasure out of seeing Ben Roethlisberger look like me playing football against my, like Nick and his buddies at age 28 or 30, right?
Right.
Yeah. It's like Johnny U when he went to the Chargers.
That was sad.
Yeah, this is sad, and the Packers defense, which has been awful, is going to be teeing off. That game's at home. Is 6.5. I think the Packers are going to. I guess it'll depend if T.J. Watt plays or not.
Right. They've been beat up on the defensive side of the ball a little bit, and that it does not look like a Steeler team. They can't run the ball, and right now Roethlisberger can't throw. It's horrible. Horrible.
Imagine Matt Stafford if he couldn't move at all against some of those offensive lines. That's what this looks like with Ben Roethlisberger. He might get killed. Literally physically killed.
I think the Packers cover easily in this game.
And now we'll see what the Broncos are really like. They played a pretty easy schedule.
Yep.
They got to play the Ravens. Kudos to Lamar Jackson, who screwed his back up by doing a flip into the Lions game.
He is, having issues.
Yep.
So. And, I mean, the Broncos, every one that they've beaten has yet to win a game.
Yeah,
so
that's
it's
right.
Like, yeah, I mean,
that's
it's right. Just, you know.
But you've got some interesting things there. Teddy Bridgewater playing against Lamar Jackson.
I like Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, so do I. I think he's a – we'll see. That's one of those games. There's some really interesting games. And then, you know, the game of the century. It's been bet up from 5.5 to 7 now.
Wow.
Wow.
I wouldn't bet this game at all. I got to make a pick on a pick'em sheet with points.
And you're just so many different scenarios that could play out.
Yeah, there is.
The emotion.
I mean, the thing is, will this Tampa Bay defense show up? I know you mentioned that they've got some DB problems, but there's the front seven.
Yeah.
Where have they been?
Where have they been? Exactly. I mean, White and Barrett and all those guys and Vita Vey and Ndamukong Suh.
Yeah.
They
take over those games.
They show up Sunday.
Yeah.
Well,
it's time for them to show up.
They're going to show up.
They're going to cover.
Yeah. And the Monday night game is the Chargers Raiders. Great game.
Yeah.
Yes.
Great game.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah. I like the Raiders.
I like the over.
You know what? I'll have to check that over.
And I like a lot of snacks during the game.
Well, as we talked about, guys, after 20 years on the same sideline, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick meet this weekend as opponents. It's the GOAT QB versus the GOAT head coach, and you can be part of the epic showdown with unbelievable odds on FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can win $125 on their $5 bet if either team scores a touchdown.
Wow.
That's right.
Those are new customers. that's right. 25-1 odds on any touchdown at any time during the Tampa Bay-New England game. My money, as we guys said, New England
to cover.
Yeah.
New England to cover, yep.
Or make a same-game parlay.
Okay, but offers like this are just one of the many reasons I love betting the NFL on FanDuel, the number one rated sportsbook app in America. Sign up today using promo code WGRY and make your first bet one for the history books. That's promo code WGRY so they know I sent you.
21 and over, present in Michigan to play. New users only, $10. First deposit required, must wager in designated offer market. Max bonus, $125. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problems, call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help.
We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Friday Faceoff on Up North Sports Radio. Welcome back to Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Jerry Coyne in studio with Keith Gave and Rich Calkins. And guys, Major League Baseball, this is going to be an extraordinarily interesting week.
Yeah.
Just very briefly, kudos to the Tigers, another win. They refused. God, I love A.J. Hinch and this team, man.
I know.
They were not going to get swept.
Yeah.
No, that's right. That's right. Even though it didn't look good, it looked like they were going to get swept early in the game, but they found a way to come back.
Take the lead, give it up.
They're missing a lot of guys.
The bats finally woke up.
Finally.
Fine. They've been struggling.
Well, you pointed out to J-Bo a couple of days ago that those 2 days off really did well this team. Yeah.
You're 4-0 and things are going, and now the two straight against the White Sox, they're going to sweep that series. And then they got that day combined with a day off, 2 days off, cooled them right down. And the bats just went silent.
The Tigers have a history when taking a lot of time off in between series or whatever. They don't, can't recapture that same momentum. And I like the budding little rivalry going with the White Sox now.
Oh yes.
After the hard slide and with Abreu, and
that's going to be an interesting series.
You know,
La Russa, is he going to play all his guys?
Right.
He's got to keep them active because they're going to have that. You know, they're going to play the Astros. It's going to be a really interesting series. But we have not determined who is going to win the NL West. All the Giants really have to do is win one game out of their next three.
They're up by two, right?
They're up with two, with three to play.
Yep.
And that is just going to be brutal for the Dodgers.
Well, they're both over 100 wins.
Yeah. I
mean, the Giants have 103 wins now.
Yeah. Right. And Dodgers have 101.
It's the most wins in Giants history.
Is that right?
Yes.
Whoa.
To have two teams in the same division over 100, it's just crazy. Yes.
Well, take a look at the Arizona Diamondbacks. You know, the Diamondbacks were playing the Giants, and what's his name pitched for them? Giants ex.
Greinke?
The left-hander who did so great in all three of their World Series victories. His name escapes me for a minute. You know, he's the guy that went hunting and ATVing, and he told him that, you know, I don't care. and the Giants just, you know, took it to him. What the hell is his name? I'll have to look it up. But, and he's got to be thinking, what the hell did I go to Arizona for?
Yeah. Oh,
Arizona's got 50 wins.
Yes.
In all likelihood, the Dodgers are going to end up playing the Cardinals in a one-game series, and the Cardinals have lost, you know, won 19 of the last 20 games.
You know, the team that shocks me out west is San Diego. They're two games under 500. All the money that they spent in the offseason?
Well, they had some injuries.
They're Tiger territory.
There's a little conflict. Machado and Tatis Jr., they kind of had a couple of dust-ups.
I mean, look, you put Scherzer on that team. Scherzer's won, what, all 11 starts?
Yeah.
He's given up. What his ERA with the Dodgers is like 1.01.
It was, he gave up five the other night, and it's the first time he's done that. I mean, he's had like a Doyle Alexander type of...
Exactly. I was thinking about that, Rich.
You know, like with the Tigers.
But the biggest thing is going on in the AL East. You've got the Red Sox are, what, two behind the Yankees.
Yes. Yeah.
Toronto really needed to beat the Yankees last night. That was a tough loss. And then the Mariners are still in it, too.
They are.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, that a team that the Tigers have dominated.
That's right.
And convincingly have beat them all year.
Look at what the Orioles have done to this series. The Yankees have a losing record against the Orioles, and the Orioles took two out of three from the Red Sox this past weekend in Boston.
How can that be?
It's crazy. Kudos to the Orioles.
This says something about the teams that have pressure on them to win, team that's loosey-goosey, nothing to lose, let's go play baseball, have a little bit of fun, screw up this race a little bit, that's fun to do.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how much baseball we'll be actually watching this weekend because there's so much football going on, but I will certainly be watching the tickers.
How about the St. Louis Cardinals, eh? You never, ever count that franchise out. 17 wins in a row to come out of nowhere and secure a playoff spot.
Well, they got, 2 years ago they got Paul Goldschmidt. It was the best, hitting first baseman. Yep. And then who's the kid that they pulled out of Colorado this year who's playing third base for them?
Oh.
They've got some good players. Yeah. You know, the Cardinals always seem to do the right thing.
They do.
See, Adam Wainwright's going to pitch this one-day playoff game. How old is he, 47?
I know. It's incredible.
And how old's their catcher? I love their catcher, but he's 51 years old, too.
Another guy.
So, it's going to be very interesting stuff coming up here, and luckily the season will end on the weekend, and then we'll have these playoff games during the weekdays, hopefully not interfering with our football.
Just real quick, Spencer Torkelson down on the farm hit three consecutive games. He hit home runs last week.
Yeah, we talked a little bit last week about what the Tigers need, and actually, did you see Gibby went into this war discussion yesterday? Above replacement.
I did not know.
And, which is one of these metrics that has been around for a little bit now. And, they talk specifically about what a Carlos Correa would add a wins above replacement at shortstop. The Tigers are negative 2.8 wins above replacement at shortstop, and Correa is 6.8. So you're talking about... legitimately, that's 10 wins. They're negative 2.
I got you.
If you, by signing Correa, and you've got a couple guys you could sign. You got Correa, you got Seager, you have four great shortstops that are all free agents this year. Now, obviously, Correa, you take a look at because of his relationship with A.J. Hinch.
Right.
But That means 10 more wins, Keith.
That puts them at 86.
Yeah. Just that one move alone with this existing team, as is, and the expected growth from some of the players, obviously. And
when Miguel Cabrera was in his heyday, he was 9.8. War.
Almost 10, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, the only one better that's ever been, Bonds was 12.8 wins
really?
Above replacement.
Wow.
Yeah. You take
What's Mike Trout? He's got to be pretty...
Who knows? He doesn't play baseball anymore.
I know, haven't seen him enough lately, that's for sure.
All right, when we return here on Friday Faceoff, we'll begin to talk about our high school football schedule for the week.
We're talking Red Wings for a minute at least.
Oh, man.
You want me to go off on the medical staff?
Yes.
Okay, I will. We'll be back after these words, and you'll hear my rant and rave about the difference between hockey medicine and NFL medicine. That's all here on Friday's Face-Off on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Welcome back to Friday Face-Off here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino, Mackinac City and Petoskey. James Cook is on the phone with us from the Record Eagle. And James, before we get to our normal high school stuff, Keith and I want to talk very briefly about this injury that was announced yesterday by the Red Wings of Jacob Vrana,
right,
who is going to leave a gaping hole in this rebuild lineup. You know, we're hoping maybe they can get into contention. I mean, this is going to take 30 goals off the scoring sheet.
Probably their most consistent scorer, their most reliable scorer. It's not going to be
so
there for 4 months.
So how does a guy go, when the season is over, have shoulder issues? They go ahead and tell him to rehab. See, this would never happen in the NFL.
Right.
When you've got a body issue, you have surgery. That's it.
In the off-season, fix
in
it.
In the NFL, that's it.
Yeah. It was terrible management, for sure. Terrible. I don't know who made that decision, but it was wrong. Jacob Vrana came into camp. He was a day or two late because of
visa issues.
And he got in. He was on the ice for 10 minutes. And he skated off, saw a doctor.
4 months.
4 months.
He's gone.
Surgery.
I know.
Yeah, that surgery should have happened in April or May at the latest.
This team is dying to move ahead a little,
scoring,
to continue to improve.
He's got 4 weeks to rehab it after the season is over. And if it doesn't start coming around, you're on the operating table.
Did he want to play? Was it the World Championships or what was it, Keith, that was going on that he played?
But so what?
Right. Oh, exactly.
Yeah, so this is your meal ticket here. This is your paycheck.
Yeah, it's unconscionable.
Yeah.
And, we'll see if Yzerman even addresses it.
Yeah, I think that's mismanagement.
That's mismanagement.
That's on the general manager.
Anyways, James, sorry we had to get that in, big weekend of high school football. What's in your radar tonight?
Well, tonight I'll be going to the Cadillac at Traverse City Central football game. That should be a pretty good one. A couple of the big things that have happened in the last little while with the whole of football is, Central and West leaving the Big North Conference and everything, but the repercussions of that, which is the other four schools from the Big North Conference looking for a new place, and then just this week they were rejected by the Northern Michigan Football Conference. So, those four schools, Cadillac, Alpena, Gaylord, and Petoskey are kind of left out in the lurch looking for a league. Sounds like they're going to try to just essentially keep the Big North Conference next year as those four schools. It wouldn't be an official conference because I think the MHSA requires you have five, but they're basically just going to play each other and then find non-conference games to fill out their schedules.
James, you guys in the Record Eagle wrote a very detailed, great article about that. Why don't you share just a little bit of what took place as to why these four teams did not get voted into the Northern Michigan Football League?
The voting was interesting. They wouldn't share exactly who voted what and everything, but they did it by division of the Northern Michigan Football Conference, I guess. The divisions that would be impacted were the ones who, I guess, kind of voted on this. And, they voted no in letting in these bigger schools, which would be the biggest schools yet in the Northern Michigan Football Conference. So I think some of the schools, you know, we haven't heard exactly the reasonings, but what we've been hearing from rumors is, you know, some of the schools are concerned about playing schools that are 200-300 kids bigger than them, you know, multiple times a year.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, you know, you reap what you sow, because as we understand it, James, and I don't know if you heard the same thing, but when we talked to Eric Sugars, he said that the other teams kind of asked Central and West to leave the division. They were tired of getting beaten.
Yeah, that's the feeling that we've gotten too. There's been talk of this for a while now. I think it was just last January. I drove to Gaylord, you know, kind of in the middle of when they were still had kind of a pause for everything during the pandemic, and I went to an athletic directors meeting just because I had heard rumors then that they were going to vote on kicking Central and West out of the league.
Yeah.
And, so this has been something that's been swirling for years, you know, because, you know, Alpena has never beaten Traverse City West ever in the history of the two schools. You know, Gaylord and Petoskey and Cadillac all have, you know, very low winning percentages against the Traverse City schools. You know, the Traverse City schools have dominated winning the championships in this league. You know, Cadillac and Petoskey have a couple here, and Gaylord has a couple, but it's mostly been the Traverse City schools. So I understand it from their standpoint. You know, they're tired of getting beat on every year. So similar reason why Ogemaw Heights left the league, because they were the smallest school and they were just getting beat on.
But if you don't have an exit strategy in place, I mean, they've just literally cut their own throat. I mean, I don't know if they've reached out. The most that makes sense to me, you know, is they go get Traverse City St. Francis to move into the division. I don't think they'd be that worried about it.
It's shocking to me, like Jerry just mentioned, that they didn't have this workout behind the scenes already with the Northern Michigan Football Conference that, look, we're going to slide into here. It's all we have a handshake deal and all that. Well, the athletic directors voted to include these four teams in, and it was the superintendents that came in and said, no, it's too early, too much change within the conference so far. There, it's not that they're saying no forever, they're just saying no right now. But it is interesting.
Yeah, and that was the thing I was going to bring up, yeah, is that they kind of, I think they had a plan, and they had approached the Northern Michigan Football Conference about getting in, and the athletic directors were behind the idea. It's just that the superintendents weren't, and they had the final say. So it looks like they may do the whole process again in a year and apply again and try to get some kind of configuration, although, I mean, what was proposed this year seems to make sense to me, you know, with having a big division of the Northern Michigan Football Conference of those four schools and, I think, Sheboygan and Sault Ste. Marie, which is essentially the old Big North Conference minus the Traverse City school.
Well, we are now shifting into our pigskin preview, Rich,
yep.
And other than, yeah, that Cadillac Central game is looming large for, especially for Cadillac.
Yeah, they need a win
here.
They
need the win, yeah.
They do, absolutely. But as we've seen, Jerry, as you've seen, that Central team right now, they're cruising on all cylinders.
You've seen Cadillac play. Yep. I don't know if they're in Central's league or not. Central was very impressive against West.
Very.
And so you guys will be calling that game on 106.3.
We have to go to Petoskey, and that game got moved to Saturday.
Right.
Yes.
I'm sorry, 106.3, you got West and Petoskey on Saturday.
Yes. But
what time is that game?
3 o'clock kickoff.
3 o'clock here on our 106.3 signal, part of Q100.
Right, exactly. And there's a great game in Grayling tonight. Sault Ste. Marie comes to town, and Grayling needs this win in a worse way.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about it. You know, I flew out.
Right.
And I know you weren't at the game. Maybe we need to talk to Chad tomorrow. But Grayling had trouble with Kingsley.
Well, they did. Actually, they played them really well. They led a couple different times. It was a seesaw affair. And Kingsley did what Kingsley does, and Grayling couldn't convert again on a big fourth down play. It was close, a pass that went off the fingertips, some different things that just, you know, they're they're battling. These are great teams they're losing to. Both of their losses were to undefeated teams, of course, and highly ranked, Kingsley and St. Francis. But this Sault Ste. Marie team coming to town, who they haven't played since 89.
Right.
And so this is...
It's a must-win.
Must-win, and they're big and physical. And it's homecoming for Grayling. So have the kids stayed focused all week? Oh, there's a lot that goes into it.
What other games are you looking at, James?
Yeah, aside from those Traverse City ones and the Grayling one you mentioned is a good game. Sault Ste. Marie is a good team. You know, you've got Charlevoix against East Jordan, which is a game that I don't think very many people before the season would have picked for both of these teams to be 4-1 at this point. You know, it's at East Jordan. Charlevoix kind of dominated the series in recent years. I think they've won 7 in a row. But East Jordan's having its best season in quite a long time, and they're coming off of back-to-back shutouts. So it should be a pretty good game.
Yeah. And like you said, James, good for East Jordan. You know, that's a team that struggled for many years to get some wins. And so I'm really happy to see them at 4-1 right now.
Yeah, and the last time they beat Charlevoix was the last year the Lake Michigan Conference existed in football, which is 2013.
I take it Boyne City lost to Traverse City, St. Francis last week?
Crushed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, St. Francis absolutely crushed them on a Saturday game. Yes, it was really something, JC.
Yeah, that was surprisingly not close at all.
Yeah, yeah. That was shocking to me. I expected a much closer game because I'd heard a lot of good things about Boyne. I knew what St. Francis was. But, man, they absolutely, from opening kick to the, it was sheer dominance by St. Francis.
Well, Rich, what else?
Yeah, and I hadn't.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and I hadn't seen Boyne City before at all, you know, in person before this game either. And, the difference was just the size. You know, Boyne City doesn't have any big 250-pound linemen like St. Francis does.
Right.
St. Francis averages 227 across the line, and Boyne's biggest offensive lineman is 170 pounds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a big difference,
yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
What else you look like in Rich?
All right, looking at some other, you know, there's a little bit of Eastern UP stuff going on. Again, the Cedarville-Brimley game has been canceled because of a COVID issue, but Rudyard and Munising and Superior Central Newberry take on. Miles having a good year this year. They take on Atlanta. Other games in the Big North Conference also. Alpena and Gaylord matchup. Gaylord's really putting together a nice season.
Yeah, they really like this new coach that's in there.
Simoniak,
yeah.
Yes.
And so they might make the playoffs.
I know. That's
be the first time Gaylord's made the playoffs in like 7 years.
He's been involved with the football program for years. His wife actually coached my daughter in volleyball years ago. And so he's been involved. He relates well to the kids. And they have huge numbers of people at their freshman JV level. So they're not big in numbers on the varsity level right now, but they're developing some kids. And so look for some, obviously, greener pastures with the Blue Devils, but I expect them to win this game tonight. And they beat a couple weeks ago Petoskey.
Yeah,
and that was a great win for them.
No, not much was predicted from the Gaylord Blue Devils, but yeah, they put together a real good season, and kudos to those guys. I know a couple of kids on the team, and hopefully they can continue down the road. What about our buddies, the Ironmen in Mancelona?
Oh, first off, I wanted to mention Kevin O'Connell's Gaylord St. Mary's Snowbirds played last night in a Thursday tilt. Unfortunately, they got beat by an undefeated Pelson team, 34-8.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a tough one for sure. That was obviously Pelson, a very good team.
Yeah, no doubt.
Do you, James? Do you know who Mancelona plays tonight?
Mancelona has a bye week tonight.
Oh, okay.
They had an open week in their schedule, so they will go into next week's game, home game against Boyne City, still at 5-0.
Yeah, no, okay. Mancelona is having a great season.
Yeah.
Good for that. That should be a huge game next week with Boyne City. Boyne City in the same boat as Grayling and all these other teams in the conference, they need wins.
Yes. Yep, they do in this new formula.
Kingsley and St. Francis look to be locks.
Yes.
But you know, Boyne City's still got to play Grayling, right?
No, they're not on the schedule this year because, remember, Boyne went to that other division.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Okay. So, but they still got to play. Grayling's got to play Algoma Heights yet.
Yep. No.
Always tough.
This season is far from over. A lot of teams' playoffs lives are in the balance. Anything else, James? You know what the Get Around podcast is going to be?
This week we're going to have Kevin Hubble on, the soccer player from Menzies Central who scored a national record 16 goals in one game this week.
Holy cow.
And, yeah.
Wow.
Who did they play?
Right.
They were playing Kingsley, and some people in Kingsley are not very happy that they allowed one kid to score 16 goals. But, you know, it sounds going into it like they kind of targeted this because Kingsley's not kind of having a good season this year or whatever, that they were going to see how many goals they could get him to score and see if they could get him the state record, which was 12, I think. And then once he got the state record, they were like, well, the national record is 14. And then
well, you know what?
Going.
If you don't want to go in the record books, then stop the kid.
Yeah.
You know, a national record is a rarity.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we'll be talking to him. We're actually doing the interview earlier. We're doing it later today, or way earlier than normal, because of it, for his schedule, and because they have a game on Monday when we normally record. And then we'll have the rest of the whole podcast out Monday evening.
All right. Fantastic, James. We look forward to reading your reports tomorrow in the Record Eagle. Thanks for joining us on the Pigskin Preview.
No problem. Thank you.
Right. So, yeah, unfortunately, Harrison Beebe couldn't join us.
Right.
He didn't give a specific reason, but he's been a great addition to Pigskin Preview.
Yeah.
So you still need to check him out pregame and postgame on 7 and 4.
Yeah, no question. Harrison does a great job. He's been involved in Northern Michigan sports for years. So, yeah, he really knows
his
stuff.
You're going to be going to the Grayling game since you don't have a game tonight.
Well, that's, yes, I am going to be keeping a close eye on that game for sure. We're supposed to be going to some friends for dinner, but, you know, I got my allegiances are over at the football field. So, yeah.
Or you can always just tune in to 100%.
That's true. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Listen to Chad and Scott and call in the game because, again, it is going to be a good ball game.
Absolutely. So Rich and I will be back here tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock for our high school scoreboard show brought to us by Bill Marsh. Yep. And until then.
All right.
Enjoy your sports and may your betting be abundant.